Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to have you back with us again by radio, and we hope today that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Now we're turning to the book of Acts in the New Testament. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Notice with me, please, as we come to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The title of our message today is Conversion. And we want to look into the New Testament and actually the Old Testament as well and just see how that this word is used and how important that it is to understand how that a person is saved or born again. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we find here the scriptures say, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask today your blessings upon the reading of Holy Scripture, and we pray that thy will to be done, for it's in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Before we get into our message, let me make mention of resources that are available free of charge. You can find us on the internet at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And the reason I'm giving you this website, and I'll give you another one also, is that you can find sermons and articles. You can find hundreds of sermon and articles. Most of these sermons are done in our church. Most of them are full-length sermons. And then the article is simply a sermon in print. And so I hope that you'd take advantage of these resources. You can find us again at biblicaltruth.info. That is I-N-F-O. But you can also find us on sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you'd need to go to the sidebar and scan down to the section titled Speakers. Go there, type my name in, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. There's many other ministers on that particular website on sermonaudio.com. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, you're going straight to our personal website. And again, there's literally hundreds of sermons and articles on this website that are free of charge. You can copy the articles or you can download the sermons. Well, let's get into our text here today and let us consider the subject of conversion. Now, when we look at this, we find that in verse 19 of Acts 3, Peter is preaching and he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So the Bible speaks of conversion, in other words, to be converted, and we'll give a definition of that in just a moment. Why is this important? Well, we find that as we consider the meaning of this word, the word literally means to turn or return to the Lord. It means to change. It consists of repentance and faith, as we see throughout Holy Scripture. Conversion is the voluntary surrender of ourselves to God. To convert something is to turn it or change it. This word is used of Peter and Luke 22, verse 31 through 34, in returning to Christ after his denial to repentance. And here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it is used of the sinner coming to God for salvation. Now, we're going to talk about the necessity of conversion beginning here in Acts 3:19. We also want to consider the requirements of conversion and then some examples of conversion in the Holy Scripture. Now, because of the length and time of our broadcast, I will refer to more scripture than what I will be reading. If you would go to our website, you can find full-length sermons that have been preached in our church, and we actually will read a lot more scripture as far as that is concerned. Now, let me give you one example here before we get into our outline. One example of why that conversion is so important. True, genuine conversion. In 1954, there was a Billy Graham crusade called the Greater London Crusade, and there was at least 3,000 made professions of faith. At the end of 10 years, they could only find 17 people who was walking with the Lord, and they had kept good records. Now, 3,000 or so made a profession of faith in this crusade. 10 years later, after keeping good records, they could only find about 17 who were walking with the Lord. Well, the question we must ask, even though the multitude made a profession of faith, were they really saved? There's only 17 who was walking with the Lord. I know of a pastor that used to pastor in the state of Mississippi, and a number of years ago, and in 1 year, he and his church, they had over 700 professions through door knocking and street work. And at the end of that year, they only had one of those families in the church. Now, this pastor actually told me this. And it made him reevaluate his ministry and how that they were doing soul winning and leading people to the Lord. So let us consider now, first of all, the necessity of conversion. Now, again, we understand what conversion means. It means to turn, to return, or to change. When you speak of a convertible car versus a hardtop, we understand what that means. It can be changed, from a hardtop to a convertible. That is, having the top down. So it's a change. So, as we come to the scripture, we find that the word converted is given to us many times. In Acts chapter 3, we see here the necessity of conversion. Peter's sermon in Jerusalem is to show the hearers the need of salvation in Christ. Now, there's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 13 again, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So we see here clearly in Peter's sermon the necessity of conversion. As we would read through the book of Acts, we will find that in Acts chapter 15 and in verse 3, the Bible says clearly, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, and declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Notice we find here the conversion of the Gentiles, and in verses 6 through 11 gives us details of that. The conversion of the Gentiles, not only did salvation go to the Jew in the first century, but it went unto the Gentiles. Peter was the first to speak to the Gentiles, and this Gentile was Cornelius and his household. You read about that in chapter 10 and chapter 11. We find again in Acts chapter 26 and in verse 18 that the Apostle Paul is speaking of his ministry that was given to him that he would preach, and that is to turn them from darkness to light. That's Acts 26, verse 18. The word turn there has the idea of being converted. Acts chapter 28, we also see the Apostle Paul here preaching, and Acts chapter 28 and in verse 27, again, we see the turning of hearts the way it should be. Let me just read the passage. He said in verse 27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Again, we see the word used here. Why is this important? Because in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, we find that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that all are unrighteous. Isaiah 64, 6, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even in the book of Romans, in chapter 3, we find that in verse 10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Well, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we must have imputed righteousness in order to enter into God's heaven. And that's where conversion comes in, the new birth, salvation, as we would call it, justification. We find the necessity of conversion clearly given to us in Holy Scripture. We must be converted in order to enter into God's kingdom. Now, what is the requirements of this conversion that we are talking about? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, the Lord Jesus here, he said, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Lord Jesus used a child as an object lesson here this day with his disciples to teach them something about how to enter into the kingdom of God. This is really a rebuke to the disciples on the question that they ask, who shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, in verse 1. So Jesus uses a little child in verse 2 and in verse 3 as an object lesson. He said in verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So we're talking about, basically in the chapter, humility. We must humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God before that we can be saved, converted, and enter into God's kingdom. Now, he speaks of childlikeness, not childlessness. Children are normally characterized by certain qualities that would lead us to Christ. Now, I realize children have the Adamic nature, but still yet, there's some characteristics about children that are important that the Lord is using here, and one of those things is humility. In general, small children are innocent. They are destitute of pride, as we as adults are very prideful in many ways, and that pride keeps us from the kingdom of God. Children also are quite forgiving. They normally do not hold grudges and remain angry. Children can get into a spat with one another in a short period of time. They can be playing again together. There's a simplicity with children. They're free from passions in the sense as their life is not complicated as most adults are. Children have a tendency, especially small children, have a tendency to trust their parents. They also are submissive. They're prone to follow the lead of an adult. And so we find that we, as individuals, in order to be saved, we must trust the Lord, have faith in the Lord, humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God, submit ourselves, and be willing to follow the Lord. So when we talk about the requirements of conversion, basically we must humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God, put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him as our Lord and Savior, submitting ourselves to Him, being willing to follow Him. So this is the requirements of conversion. Obviously, we must repent of our sins, believe the gospel. But this comes about through humility, through humbling ourselves and putting our pride aside and trusting in the Lord to save us. Now, there are several examples of conversion that is given to us in the Holy Scripture. Now, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, but I want to give you some other examples before I read in this chapter. Now, the Apostle Paul is a great example of conversion. When we began reading in Acts chapter 9, began reading in verse 1, and we find him as fighting against Christ, and he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. As we read throughout that chapter, especially in verse 13 through 22, and we read in other places of Paul's testimony, his name was Saul of Tarsus, and God changed his name to Paul, we find that Paul experienced conversion. He had a change of life. You did not have to beg the Apostle Paul to go to church after that he was saved. There's many today that say they're saved and they know the Lord. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They're not faithful to the house of God, as in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Apostle Paul was dedicated from the day of his conversion until the day of his death. We find 14 letters in the New Testament written by him. The book of Acts, his testimony is given a number of times. Also, we find the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 34 through 40, the eunuch believed and was baptized. He submitted after faith in Christ. He submitted to baptism, which was a public testimony. So we see, again, another example of conversion in the Scripture. A great example is Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, 44 through 48. Cornelius and his household as well submitted to this ordinance as well. They believed, they trusted the Lord, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they publicly was baptized in water as a testimony to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lydia was another example in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, and in verse 40. We find her love for the Word of God, her love for the saints of God, her love for the minister of God, clearly seen in that passage. Another example is the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 27 through 34. The jailer came before Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And following his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Philippian jailer was baptized, and we find him testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. One other example before I read about the Thessalonian church is Luke 19, verses 8 through 10. Zacchaeus, we find that Zacchaeus was willing, after he's converted, that's Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, but verse 8, 9, and 10, we see his conversion. And you didn't have to ask him or beg him or plead with him after he's converted to be faithful to the Lord or to give or to tithe or anything of that nature. This man was willing to do so. There was true repentance in his life. And so there are a number of examples. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you read through this entire chapter, you see the greatness of the people of God and their conversion, their salvation, their faithfulness, their love for the Word of God, even in much afflictions, and their joy in the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul gave thanks for them in verse 2. He speaks of their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope in verse 3. He speaks of their assurance in the things of God in verse 7. They became followers of the apostles and of the Lord, receiving the word of God in much afflictions. You find that they became examples or ensamples to all of those that were around in verses 7 and in verse 8. They became a great testimony. Their faith broadcasted abroad in Macedonia and Achaia and also in other places. And then we find them in verse 10 waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. They're serving and they're being faithful and they're waiting. We're talking about true conversion. Now notice with me in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Notice they turned from sin, that is idolatry. They turned from idolatry and turned to God. They did a 180. They did an about face. They turned from what they were trusting in. They turned from their idols. They turned from their sin and turned toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, according to Matthew 7, verses 17 through 22. We find that forgiveness and conversion of sin, let me back up, let me start with conversion. Conversion and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand, according to Mark chapter 4 and in verse 12. Why are so many today who have a profession of faith have no changed life? Conversion not only speaks of salvation, but it speaks of a changed life. And we find again, the Word of God converts us, Psalms 19, verse 7. Isaiah 51, 13, David speaks of this. James also speaks of this in chapter 5 of the book of James in verse 19 and in verse 20. So I want to leave with you today that we see in the Scripture the necessity of conversion. You can't be saved without conversion. You can't enter into God's kingdom. The requirements are very clear. We must humble ourselves before a holy and righteous God and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died for our sins at Calvary, and then we have many examples. The example of the Thessalonians, they turned from their idols, their sin, and they trusted and served the true and living God. I'll leave with you this, that God says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. With a heart man believeth in the righteous, with a mouth confession is made into salvation. So I beg of you today that if you've not been converted, keep in mind it's absolutely necessary to enter into God's kingdom, and conversion is brought about through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, Acts 20, verse 21, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised in His holy word that He would save you, that in Romans 10 verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make sure that you have genuine conversion through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins at Calvary. He was buried and He rose again the third day, that we might have salvation, that we might have eternal life. I beg of you today to put your faith and trust in Him. If you're not saved, be converted today. And again, as Peter said from where we started to begin with in the book of Acts in chapter 3, he said very clearly, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, our time is come and gone here on the radio broadcast. We thank you for listening. Keep in mind our resources that are available that are free of charge, biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, or you can find us on sermonaudio.com. We appreciate you listening. Love to hear from you. If you've been converted through the broadcast or you've just been blessed through the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It's always encouraging and a blessing not only to myself but to the entire church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.